Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Leonard Cohen from Anthem. Greetings from Dragonfly Cottage. It's May 10th, 9 p.m. And I started with that quote because it is a quote that I have long loved. And it's come to me again in a book that I'm reading that is just moving me so deeply. And even though it's for writers or about writing, I think a lot of people would love it. It's How the Light Gets In, Writing as a Spiritual Practice by Pat Schneider. It's a personal story that's beautifully written. And I think anyone interested in spiritual journey would love this book. I didn't get a podcast recorded yesterday. It was one of the days that I had to go out, which, as I've spoken about, I seldom do. I had to take my pug, Samson, to the vet in the morning and leave him for a while to have some tests, which did turn out well, which I'm pleased to say, and then I had to go back and get him, and then I was home for a little while and had to go back out again to get my medications and groceries, and I try to do a number of things in one day when I'm out so I don't have to go out again for a while. So by the time I got home last night, still affected by the raised dose in my medication, I was so tired that I wasn't making much sense. And this will pass soon, but I really don't want to miss podcasts, so I hope that won't happen again. I have been reading some books that I'd like to share with you. I just shared one. The other one is by Danny Gregory, and I don't know if you know his work. He is an incredible artist, and he does books that are handwritten and have his art, and he has shared in one of his books the journals of many other artists. But this one is absolutely beautiful. It's called A Kiss Before You Go, an illustrated memoir of love and loss. It's about after he lost his wife, Pat. She had already been crippled and was in a wheelchair from an accident, which changed their lives radically, of course, and then he lost her. And the illustrations and the handwritten story are so beautiful. If you like that sort of thing, I can't recommend it highly enough. And I wanted to share a few things with you before I forget. I have just watched a couple of videos on the 13 Indigenous grandmothers, Native American grandmothers, and grandmothers around the world. It's an international coming together of the grandmothers who, through prayer and spreading the message of healing the earth and healing all of us at this time in history when the waters are polluted and the animals are dying off from so many things, and the earth, the plants. We all know the shape that the earth is in right now, but it spreads to the human psyche. And I've always loved so much the Native American wisdom that when they do anything, they think ahead 7 generations. How is what we do today going to affect the next generations? And that is so moving to me. As a grandmother of 2 myself, I often wonder and worry and hope for my grandsons and any other grandchildren that I'll be blessed with, that the world can turn around and open up to a more heart-centered place and a more peaceful place and a healthier place. And yet I hadn't been of a mind to think forward 7 generations. But the lineage that I am part of will go on, God willing. And I think it's so important. It is in each of our hands. Everything that we do, the way that we live, will move forward with those that come after us, long after we're gone. And I think that's a very moving thing. The videos are on YouTube if you'd like to watch them, the 13 grandmothers, and you should be able to easily find those. In the last podcast, I said that I had become friends with Mae Sarton in the last year of her life. It was indeed the last 3 years of her life. I thought I should correct that in an homage to Mae, because she was such a great teacher and mentor, and I wanted to give her credit for having helped me so much. I am working, as I've said many times, on a book called The 100 Ladies Project. And again, I say ladies instead of women to give it a bit of a lighthearted feel, but I've drawn and written the stories for about 30 of the 100 women so far. And this morning I woke up and it felt like, as I walked out with the dogs, this idea came to me, kind of wafted in on the spring air, because I walk outside and every day there are so many more things blooming, and the air got very, very warm here today. And the warmer it gets, the more powerful the fragrance is from the flowers. And tonight I was, there were the roses, I mean, and tonight I was walking at dusk out to get the mail that I hadn't gotten earlier, and I passed the large cottage garden at the end of my driveway near the road. Most of my garden areas are in the back of my house, in the private areas inside the fence. But this one is at the end of the driveway, and people have started to stop to look at the hundreds of poppies and the iris and the roses and all of the things that have bloomed. If you saw a picture with one of the podcasts earlier in my podcasting, you saw a gorgeous, large, full blooming wisteria, and that is at the front of that garden. But I was out there this evening, and the fragrance of the iris was just powerful, very special fragrance, the bearded iris. And I took a picture of a beautiful golden yellow iris with purple flecked petals, and that will be with this podcast. And today I was walking around the roses going up the 4 post pillars on the front porch. Every day I go out and there's just many, many more blooms, and the clematis coming up through the roses is just huge, and more flowers of the clematis. And I just am so happy this time of year. So I was outside and it came to me what I should be writing about in the introduction of the book, The 100 Ladies Project. And My purpose with these ladies that I'm writing about is to tell stories, and they're brief, kind of like little fables or tales. And I feel myself a cantadora. A cantadora is a storyteller in song and story who passes the stories down to further generations. It comes out of the tradition of when stories were not written down but passed verbally through families and so forth. And I wanted to write these little tales of the different women, many aspects of life. Some of it comes out of very difficult or painful experiences, some out of beautiful or lighthearted or fun, whimsical kind of places. Some are about women who have loved deeply and lost loved ones. So many stories, and I've been told by people who have read some of the stories I've posted so far on my blog that have gone out on Facebook and Twitter as well, that they loved the stories because they saw themselves in so many places in the stories. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. I think that we will see ourselves, even if just bits and pieces here and there, in the women's stories, because the personal is in the universal and vice versa. And I wanted them to be stories that could comfort, that could make women feel less alone. But more than that, this book isn't just for women. I thought that this book could be meaningful to men because they might better understand their mothers, their grandmothers, aunts, their wives, their lovers, and even their own daughters. And it was something that I was thinking about today that gave more meaning to what I was doing. And I posted a blog entry today that's about just this. It's got a picture of me drawing one of the 100 ladies, and it goes into a little more depth about what I've just been talking about. That's on maitrisheart.com, maitrisheart.com. And I have been moving through these days. Again, I loved that quote at the beginning, that there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And these last few weeks, when I lost Penny and was so devastated and depressed and really having a hard time, and even the last week of being in such a fog and trying to adjust to the medication, there has been in my life that crack where the light gets in. And I think that's a good thing to always hold, to look for that little bit of light, because it's always there, even in the darkest and most painful situations. If we look, if we open our eyes and our heart in prayer, in meditation, in mindfulness, in awareness, if we can look and find even a ribbon of light coming in and hold on to that and let ourselves move into it, it becomes more expansive. And that's how I've gotten through days. Even in the darkest times, I have been able to move into that space. And having been suicidal at times in my life, and not for a long time, but having been suicidal, I think there was always something, even something small, that I could move into that let me hold on. And I'd like to share, before I close here, one thing. It was one of the most profound moments of my life. It was the last time I felt suicidal. It was about 10 years ago. I was living in a small place. It was after my marriage ended, not long, 2 or 3 years after my marriage ended. And my children were grown and off into their own lives. It was early on in my years of living alone for the first time in my life. And I struggled to keep things together and have enough money to get by. And I came to a place where I couldn't imagine what was going to happen to me, how I was going to move forward, what I was going to do. And there was a day that I came just to the brink, and it was so dark. And I had created Dragonfly Cottage, and my last name, Lee Balul, means dragonfly in French. But the dragonfly is my totem animal. The dragonfly in Native American spirituality leads us out of the darkness and into the light. And this was so meaningful to me for years as I moved into Dragonfly Cottage, that space in my mind and my heart, as well as my physical place. And it was a beautiful, beautiful time of the year, and I had the door propped open to get some breeze. And I was sitting in this chair, just tears running down in my face, and thinking that the worst was my only way out. And all of a sudden, and I have many photographs of this I've shared with people, I'll have to share one of those in an upcoming podcast. I don't have any at hand right now. But in through the open door fluttered the most beautiful dragonfly. I have not seen one since, nor had I before. It was very large, and it was golden, and it just shimmered gold, and I had never seen one like this before. And it came over, and it lighted on my hand, and I thought, well, it's just going to flutter about, and it didn't move. It sat. I reached over for my camera, which I had close by, and I took photographs. The dragonfly stayed inside with me almost a half an hour. I mean, this is just unheard of. And on my arm, on my shoulder, just sat with me. And it totally changed everything for me. It was a message. There is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. And through that crack in the door flew a golden dragonfly, and he saved my life, because I realized that I needed to come out of the darkness. I needed to move forward. There was hope. There was help. There always is. Always. And I have never been suicidal since. I have rarely been as depressed as I was last week, even. But it was such a beautiful experience. And so I leave you with that thought. If you can imagine a beautiful golden butterfly, dragonfly. That was my light. That was the light on that day. And I hope for you that you can see that light, because it's always there for all of us. And one more time before I go, Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And I leave it there for tonight. So good night from Dragonfly Cottage. I send you love. I wish you well. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.